It's always good to feel good in the house of the Lord, to feel His presence. I don't know about you, but I have been touched tonight already. And I come to church with an expectation. And I was thinking about it today, and I thought, you know, Lord, there's such a move lately of Your Spirit in Your house. Saturday morning prayer was just out of this world. Sunday morning church, again, out of this world. Sunday night, the preaching and the presence of God. God is not any different today. He is here in this place, and He'll speak in the worship as much as He'll speak it with the Word of God. So if we keep our hearts and our spiritual ears open to see what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Amen. In Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 1, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And His disciples answered Him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" We live in a time right now that you cannot be mistaken when you say we are in the last days. We are in the last days. The coming of the Lord is very soon. He's given us signs. He's given us the wonders. He has showed us things. We see the governments and what they're doing. We see the wars that He's already told us about. And there's a wilderness out there, church. This is an oasis. This is a sanctuary of the Lord that we have. We are a privileged people to be in the house of the one true God and to know His name, that we can call upon Him 24/7 and know that He hears. We don't even have to call. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And yet He still loves us. He still calls us to Him. He draws us by His Spirit to Him. That's why we are here tonight. We didn't come because, yep, it's Wednesday night, it's time to go to church. God has put something within each one of us to come to His house because He wants worship. He wants love. He reciprocates that love, and it comes pouring back to us as we lift up and praise Him. But there are men that are out there, there are women, there are children out there in the wilderness tonight, wondering where they're going to get food, wondering how they're going to make it tomorrow, wondering where they're going to get the next fix, wondering, how can I do it? Am I going to get shot today if I walk down the road where I live? It's bad out there. And these people here, they came to a wilderness, and the disciples walking with Jesus, knowing and saying, yep, You're God, we know that, You're the Messiah, You're the anointed one, and yet here they are talking among themselves, how can a man be satisfied out here? And I think sometimes the church forgets that we have to take Jesus outside the walls. We have to take Him. God calls them, moves on their heart, but sometimes He doesn't just drive them by the church, He has them talk to us. Sometimes we have to go to the hospital to find them, and they're there. Sometimes we have to talk to Him at work. He gives us a job we don't want, but that's because God has something else in mind. They're there. Sometimes our kids get sick at school, and maybe it's not about the kids. Maybe it's about that teacher that was crying out in the middle of the night before, saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. God is here. And if you want to know how He can satisfy in the middle of the wilderness, turn over to John in chapter 6. read John chapter 6 and verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise way cast out. Hallelujah. Jesus, God, I just thank you that you are the bread of life tonight, that you satisfy in the midst of a world that's getting so dark. I thank you that we can come to a church, God, a sanctuary, an oasis, to worship you and feel your presence, even though you're everywhere, God. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters that have come out tonight. I ask, God, that you would bless this word now. Speak to our hearts, God, in the way that only you can. Touch us, God, and let us know that when we leave this place, God, that we have been in tune with you, that we have heard from you, that we've been touched by you, God, because we need you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I had one of those mint things tonight, and they take, like, your thirst. You know, they make you really dry, so forgive me for drinking. The bread in the wilderness, and Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Right after he told his disciples that, he also went on to say, and you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he was talking about what was going to come with the Lord's Supper, but they thought, literally, how are we going to eat the flesh of this man? What is he talking about? He must be crazy. And I felt like that sometimes talking to Trinitarians about the oneness of God. Or talking about people that have been raised in a church that says speaking of tongues is of the devil. And we say, well, wait a minute, how can it be? I have it. And people don't understand unless God opens up their heart. But God can open up a heart by prayer. We can talk to people after we prayed and know that God has opened up their mind and their heart to receive his word. That's why, church, we need to pray more and more as we see the day approaching. And so when he said that, many said, this is a hard saying. And they wanted to leave him. In verse 51, it says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then if you go to 68, verse 68 or 66, and it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Sometimes the sayings of Jesus is hard. Sometimes what he asks for us is hard, but we sang tonight, God, I surrender all. We didn't sing, God, I surrender all if, or God, I surrender all when. But I do, I surrender all. And that is a prayer that has to be in us every day. And we are going to come up on situations that think, I can't do this anymore. I can't go that way anymore. I don't have the strength. I am so stressed out. And these things are happening to the church. It's, you know, Sister Elizabeth? No. Elizabeth? Yes. Yes. Said, you know, she's being honest. And it is a stressful world out there. The prices are going up. I was shocked to see the price of food. You know, when I went shopping at the grocery store, when I came back, well, actually, it just jumped up about 6 months ago, even worse. So even 6 months ago, and it's like, whoa, what happened? You know, what happened to our food? The price of gas and how it's gone up and down and whatever way it's going to go. You know, it's stressful. I've been living in Michigan for the last couple of years, and it's a recess state. I mean, there's hardly any jobs, a lot of the Muslims are being relocated in Michigan. In fact, in Coldwater, not too far, about maybe 40 minutes to 60 minutes from where I live, there's one of those cell camps. And just to talk about the end time a minute, we have a Fort Custer that was an Army fort during World War II and I, and they've made it into a really nice airport, and they've also made it into a Air National Reserve, National Guard Reserve. And a friend of mine that was retired Marine came the other day and talked to me before I came up here, and he said, "What is going on over at the fort?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There are Humvees, I think that's how you say it, Humvees, you know, the military trucks and all that, just loaded over at the fort." And he says, "What is going on?" And they're building a whole new bridge. They shut out a way that we used to get into the fort while they're doing this building. Come to find out, they're putting what I would call, my ignorance, anti-Scud missile silos. They are to repel any missiles that come in. And they're putting these silos in the fort. And it's like, you know, we are seeing and hearing more and more of these things that are going on. Are we to fear? No. We are not to fear. We are to have a peace in God that He gives to us. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. God takes care of us no matter what is going on out there. We do not have to fear. I know it's hard not to be stressed sometimes, because sometimes it feels like it's hitting us from every side. But that's the time to get on our knees and go to God. I was talking to a sis the other day, and we were talking, and I was kind of telling her a little bit about how stressful it was at home. And sometimes I would get so angry with my mom because of the way she believes and what was going on over there. And I'd say to Karen, "Come on, we're going to go to church. I got to pray." And I was so angry, and I'm just being honest. I was so angry that when I would get down on my knees, my jaws were so tight because I had to keep my mouth shut. You know, I couldn't say anything. I didn't want to say anything because I knew if I did, it would be the wrong thing to say. And so when I go over to the altar and I get down on my knees and I just, you know, I'm going to read a scripture a little bit later about the what they did to Stephen, you know, and they gnashed on him, and I'm thinking, man, I'm a gnashing these, you know? But it's the times that we're living in. And think of this, church. You and I have the Holy Ghost. We have God in us. And if we're so stressed out, what is the world doing? What are they calling on? You know, that's the time to take the drugs and drink the alcohol and to try to bury those situations. We have a living God that knows every step. He orders our steps. He walks with us. He leads us. Nothing that happens to us, as long as we're living according to His will. And that doesn't mean we have to be perfect. We can't be, because we're working toward perfection. And there's going to be times when we fall, or we make mistakes, or we say the stupidest things, you know? But that's okay, because we are flesh. But we have a way of taking care of that. You know, we don't just leave it. That's why this church is so special, because you know what? This church knows how to come back and say, "I'm sorry. We got to make it right. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to ignore you. I'm not going to walk away from you." We are the church of the living God that loves us, and we are to love each other. Even even if you go to the best of families, and I have seen them, that there is love, so much love in that family, they don't always get along. There's times when there's disagreements. But you know what? There's so much love that, you know, I loved it the other day when Brother Putnam said, I thought about it. He thought about it. It wasn't just a whim. That he says, there's nothing that my sons could do that would make me stop loving them. Isn't that awesome? Is there anything in the body of Christ that somebody could do to make you stop loving them? There's nothing in the mind of Jesus to make him stop loving us. There's not one thing that we can do to make him stop loving us. But we can walk away from him and stop loving him. So these are hard sayings that Jesus said, and many walked away because they didn't understand. And today we see many walking away, many leaving the churches, many leaving truth, and many leaving Jesus altogether. In Matthew 24, if you'll turn there, starting in verse 4. You know, in the Old Testament, it was always remember, and they would read the scrolls, and they would talk and pass down what God had done. And even though we talk a lot about the end times and we read a lot about the end times, we have to remember that this is just, it has to take place, church. It has to. Because if Jesus is going to come, like Brother Sean sang the other day, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. These things have to take place, and we don't have to be afraid of them. So in Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, it says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by friends that leave this church. Don't be deceived by family that says you don't have to go to that church. There's churches all over the place. Don't be deceived by people who think they know a little bit more about God than you. Don't be deceived, church. You know what is right. When you keep the word of God alive in your heart and in your mind, you know what's right. And you don't have to let people run over you. You can stand up for the word of God, what the word truly says. And when you hear somebody that's on the outside or on the inside talking about your brother and sister that is going to this church, you need to say, stop. Right now, stop. Close your mouth. Because, you know, God loves unity. He loves unity, but he hates somebody that tries to break the unity of the church. And there's going to be a lot of that in this end time. There's going to be a lot trying to cause division, trying to come in, trying to make you doubt. Doesn't the Bible say that those that are fearful and those that are doubters are not going to make it? We have to stay stronger than we've ever stayed strong before, church. That means binding together. A threefold cord is hard to break. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of the wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in divers places, and all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another. It's going to be easy in this last day, church, to be offended. The devil's going to lie in your ear. You know, because of being a police officer, you know, I was pretty skeptical, maybe. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, but I want to hear the other side, and, you know, I want to make sure what you're saying is truth and everything. And the devil is going to come in, and he's going to give you little half-truths, just like Eve in the garden. And look, we're in this mess today because of a half-truth. So when you hear something, you make sure that if you're supposed to be listening to it, that it is the truth. And we don't need to be talking one about another. You know, we should be lifting up one another and encouraging one another, you know. And this is what really helped me. You know, the gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's the love chapter. And it said, love believeth all things. And so when you think the pastor's standing up here or he's talking about you, or maybe he comes by and he shakes your neighbor's hand and he looks at you and walks on by, and now you're thinking, oh, he doesn't like me. Oh, or even somebody else in the congregation. Love chooses to believe good. It chooses. And there's going to be a lot of thinking in this last day, mind games, that the devil is going to try to play. We have to keep the Word of God working in our heart and our mind. We have to think upon these things, church, those things that are lovely and virtuous and of good report. Those things, God wants us to be thinking about Him all the time anyway. And if we keep Him on our mind, praise the Lord, those other things will just fade. Sometimes we have to condition our thinking. You know, we have to learn and discipline ourselves. And so these things are going to take place in the last days, and they're going to be the beginning of sorrows. In verse 10, and many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall even hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But, He. I was waiting for you, Brother Frank. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Don't give up the race, church. Don't quit. Don't walk away. God is with us. He is with each and every one of us. And we can run this race together. We have to run this race. There is no other way. Amen? Amen. Saturday morning at prayer, God gave me a vision. I mean, prayer, I don't even know if it was prayer. It was heaven. That's what it felt like, just being, oh. Anyway, am I making you hungry to want to come? And Kim Davis, everybody know who Kim Davis is. You know, she's the Pentecostal gal that got arrested for not issuing same-sex marriage licenses because she made a stand. And her face came to my mind in this vision, and she had such a peace. And they were walking her away with her hands behind her back in handcuffs. And there was such a peace about it. There was no resistance. And as I'm watching that, my thought went right away from there to Ferguson, Missouri. And I saw these riots. And I saw the looting. And I saw violence. And I saw destruction. A complete opposite of what I saw with the arrest of Kim Davis. And from there, I'm thinking, wow, Stephen came to my mind. And Stephen preaching the Word of God. And I thought about the peace. He's being stoned. He's being taken out of the city and cast out and being stoned. And he had such a peace about him. He didn't pick up a stone to throw back at the guys that were throwing stones at him. But But there was he was full of the Holy Ghost, that even while he was speaking, the Bible says that as those men looked upon him, his face shone like an angel, as if an angel. He was picked. He was picked to be a waiter at a table to take care of the Greeks, because there was such this division going on about you're not taking care of our people more than those people and blah, blah, blah. And so he was chosen because he was full of the Holy Ghost and he had a good report and he was honest. And he's supposed to be doing tables, and what's he doing? He's out preaching the word of God so strong that when he really let those guys have it, because they didn't want to hear it, he didn't back away and say, well, you don't want to hear it. No, I'm going to tell you the truth about this thing. They picked up stones and they started throwing them. And the Bible talks about how he fell to his knees. And he, well, let's turn to it. In Acts chapter 7, a description of him is verse 8. And it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by what he spoke. Then they stubborn men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. And we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. And he started to preach. And they didn't like it. And he started to, and they started to pick up the stones and throw the stones at him. And he says, Father, forgive them. And he looks up and he sees God. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand because he submitted his will. He did not try to fight back. He submitted his will to what God wanted by doing what the truth was. Sometimes, church, I'm saying this, that we need to submit our will. When somebody wants to argue with us, even in the home, we don't have to argue back. We can submit our will, and when we submit our will and we humble ourselves one to another, which the Bible says, then God, we will see God. We will see God. We will see God in it. He will show himself strong on our behalf. The other day, why I'm going here, I don't want to be too confusing. We'd been talking about guns, and you know, again, being an ex-cop, you know, I'm thinking, oh, because when I retired from the sheriff's department, I took off my uniform, my badge, and my guns. And I said, I don't want anything more to do with it. And I laid it down, and I felt like I was truly in the will of God. I was told that I had a spirit every time I put that uniform on, and I didn't recognize it until afterwards. But there was, when you're a cop and you have a uniform, it speaks for you. It becomes you. You know, as you walk, it identifies you, and it becomes your power, really, you know, your authority as a cop. And I'm not saying to misuse that. I'm not saying that. But it identifies you, what you are. And so I'm thinking about this gun thing, and do you know that the devil Well, sometimes if he can't get you at your weak point, he will get you at your strength, at your strong point. Because sometimes we're not looking out for our strong point because we're confident in it, in ourselves. And when we're confident in ourselves, what do? We don't leave it to God. We walk in ourselves. And if you have a PowerPoint, if I can put it like that, and I'm not talking about the computer PowerPoint, but if you have a PowerPoint in your life, you be careful and you give that to God and you make that thing surrendered to God. You know, you may have a talent in singing, Brother Sean, and I'm not speaking, I'm just using an example. And we can be so confident in it that we don't have to pray about it. I can be so confident in my prayers that I don't have to pray about my prayers. Does that make any sense? You know, I can just get on my knees and think, oh, I can touch God anytime. I have to be careful. Because I tell you what, God won't let me think like that, and he won't let you think like that for long, and you'll find out. And so we have to be careful in our strengths. And so I'm thinking about this gun thing, and I'm thinking about Kim Davis and the peace that she had. She did not retaliate. Stephen did not retaliate. He surrendered. He was in the will of God. And I'm thinking about this gun thing, and I'm thinking, why would I want to carry a gun if I have Jesus? Right. Now, some of you may be upset by this, and I'm not speaking to you. But if God speaks to you, you better listen, because we surrendered all, remember? Right. We surrendered all, even our will. Jesus told Peter and the disciples before they left the upper room, he says, take a scrip, take a cloak, and take a sword. And some people look at that and think, oh, a sword. And Peter, they looked around, you know, because they didn't have one, and then they found a couple, and Jesus said, oh, just one. And I always wondered about that. Because after Jesus went to Golgotha, after he prayed in Mount Olives, and then Judas came with the soldiers, when Peter took that sword and he clopped off the ear of that guy, Jesus said, no, put that sword away. Put it away. And he picked up that ear and he put it back on him. And I thought, why did Jesus ask for a sword? I still haven't figured it out, but the one thing that I'm thinking about, and if you guys know any ideas, I'd like to hear them. Jesus, in the flesh wants to take that weapon and have a security, have a strength, even though he was God. But yet after Mount Calvary, or Mount Olivet, and praying, he didn't want it anymore. He didn't need it. And sometimes, you know, we take things to our prayer closet, and when we leave, we don't need it anymore because we've gotten in that place with God where God satisfies that need, or he takes over that situation. And so again, I'm thinking about this gun thing, and I'm thinking about Stephen, and I'm thinking, okay, God, I know what the power of God is, because when I was in Nigeria in 1981, a young minister and I were walking down the road during juju season. And all of a sudden, three juju men come running down the road, and they're all dressed up in their juju outfits, and they have spears, and Brother Effion says, they want to kill you. And it was like, oh. And all I knew to do was, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And it was like a comic type of thing. They all went, ah, and jumped and turned around and ran away. That is the power of God. It was a witness. I didn't have to leave a dead body there because I felt afraid. God took care of it. And who knows if one of those men did not come back and say, what was it that made us turn around and run? The other night, we were watching a documentary on Israel and the Six-Day War, and we saw the situation where when Egypt came in, they had the trucks, the army trucks, and the army guys and all that, and they were coming around, and they had, I think, two Israeli soldiers kind of, everybody else had been shot, and the two guys were trying to hide behind a bunker, and all of a sudden the shooting stopped, and the two Israeli guys got up, you know, and they got their guns, and they were kind of like, what's going on, you know? And here's these Egyptian army soldiers falling down on their knees and shaking and like they were in confusion. And then they went around to the truck, and here's 18 soldiers with weapons in the truck sitting there, not knowing what. And so here the two Israelis are walking these guys into their camp, and he said to their commander, the Egyptian commander, why didn't you take us? You had all. He says, we couldn't. We were paralyzed. We couldn't even hardly catch our breath, but we were paralyzed, and our arms wouldn't move. We couldn't do anything. That is the power. God was on those Israeli sides. He's showing himself strong. He will do that to the church. He will show himself strong on our behalf when we submit ourselves and walk according to his will and be Christ-like. We have to be Christ. He is the bread, the living bread. He wants to feed men in the wilderness. He doesn't want a church that is wearing their six shooters and their Glocks and their Smith and Wessons on their side ready to, you know, take somebody down. Now, this is my opinion. You can do what you want if God talks to you. I'm not telling you not to do it. But this is how I see the word, and I know what God has showed me in that vision. And it was the peace of God that took those. Are we going to, when we're going to be martyred, are we going to say, wait a minute, before I can go to the guillotine, I got to go get my six shooter? The disciples ran. A couple of them, they ran. Take me, Paul, take me. I'll go. Let's get this thing over with. Another thing, and I think we've all kind of heard about it with the Israelis, there was another one they showed. They were just replaying what had actually happened in the war, and it showed a troop that came up over a bunker, and here's all these Egyptians, you know, with their guns again, and they weren't shooting, and they were just like, and so the Israelis were looking at them, and then they had to look around behind them to see what they were looking at, and there was nothing there. When they asked their lieutenant what happened, the Egyptian lieutenant, it was, there are these men all around you, and they look like angels. And here again, this is God. This is God taking care of his people. We are the chosen people, the elect people. God has so many things for us to do, and he is with us. He walks with us. He walks in us. Every day can be exciting. It can be a little stressful, you know, but it's time to step out on that limb. It's time to be bold. It's time to do the word of God, speak the word of God. That word in the tongue is life and death. Is that true? If we speak the word of God is life. And if we speak that word of God, it is life, and Jesus will protect us. Our weapons of war are not bombs and guns, or guns and bombs, according to the song. But 2 Corinthians tells us what our weapons of war are. If you'll turn there in chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Our weapons bring down strongholds. Our faith can turn around a situation. We just have to discipline ourselves to pray for things, what we see have need. We have to discipline ourselves to fast more. I have a lot to live off of. I think I can do that. And God, it's not that we're going to change God's mind about something, but it's going to help us get into that place that we can be like Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, and ready to surrender our will and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If this is what you have for me, if this is the path that I walk upon, then thy will be done, and be glorified in it. Don't let me be complaining. Don't let me be murmuring. Don't let me just look like I'm moping around, but let me go with joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me walk in the strength of the Lord and give him glory in the midst of it. Man, people, when you're coming in and you're dancing about and you're just praising the Lord, they wonder what in the world is going on. That's a perfect door to tell them. It's Jesus. You can have it too. Hallelujah. And my last scripture in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus speaking with the Beatitudes, with his disciples and followers, and he says in verse 10, well, let me go to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice. Don't retaliate. The word doesn't say retaliate and tell them off or tell them what to do or where to go. It says rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden down under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what Jesus is telling us. I'd hate to see it in a paper. You know, when I was a police officer, you know, I'm sorry I keep referring to it, but it's like, If you do anything wrong, and it's still that way today, cop, headlines, cop about that, you know. And if it's bad, the worst thing is that big. And you know, they want to just smear your name. Can you imagine, church, I have to say this. Saint of AFC, so-and-so and so-and-so, shoots 16-year-old intruder. What kind of saint? I know we have the law. I know we have the right. And sometime it may come to that. If you carry a weapon, it may come to that. I don't know. But I laid mine down because I picked up something else. I picked up the cross of Jesus. And I picked up a sword called the Word of God. And in thinking about, well, am I going to get a gun? This is what God talked to me through this vision. He talked to me, and you can say, yep, that's for Sister Jenkins. That's fine. But if God is talking to you tonight, I want to be a saint. And I want to have good works that are seen. And I want to win the lost. And I want to be able to submit myself to persecution when it comes, because I want somebody to see Jesus. And whether I live or die, I am going to see Jesus one way or the other. Stephen saw him while he was alive. He's going to see him in the day that he gets caught up. I don't know what you have to surrender, if anything, tonight. But Jesus wants all. He wants all. And so I ask you just to come. And if there's anything in your heart that you need to talk to him about, please talk to him.